please welcome the Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger.
Remember me.
Good
morning. I have to say goodbye.
We are thrilled to be here in Houston, and we thank you all for joining us. And I want to thank our colleagues at KTRK, our ABC station here. That video that you just saw speaks to the tremendous heart and the resilience of the city, and it also reflects the extraordinary work of our ABC 13 news team and the vital role that a local TV station plays in a community. KTRK's general manager, Henry Florsheim, is here, along with news director Wendy Granato, and I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge them, along with everybody at ABC 13, for their service to Houston, and thank them for continuing to define excellence in local news. Henry and Wendy, wherever you are, thank you. Thank you. In the wake of Hurricane Harvey, KTRK joined our company's efforts to raise money for emergency relief and long-term recovery across the region. And we generated almost $16 million in aid for Houston and South Texas through corporate donations, through our employee matching gifts program, and a primetime telethon. And Houston was not the only community that was hit by natural disasters in the United States last year. We raised almost $63 million as a company to help people in areas ravaged by natural disasters. And I'm extremely proud of our company's ability to quickly respond in this way. Now, if you, thank you. If you've been to a Disney shareholders meeting before, you know that there are two parts to the meeting. There's the business part where we take care of the official business, including proposals and electing our board members. And then there's the fun part where we pull back the curtain a bit and we get to show you some of the exciting things that we're working on. And this year, Alan Braverman, our Secretary and General Counsel, is going to conduct the business portion of the meeting. And then when he's done, I'll be back to share my thoughts about the state of our company and give you a glimpse into our future and then answer your questions. And so without further ado, please welcome our Secretary and General Counsel, Alan Braverman. Alan?
Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Bob. I'd like to start this morning by introducing our board of directors, each of whom brings a wealth of expertise and experience to our company. In addition to Bob Iger, our directors are Susan Arnold, who's an operating executive of the Carlyle Group and retired from Procter & Gamble, where she was the company's vice chairman. Mary Barra is chairman and chief executive officer of General Motors Company. Safra Katz is chief executive officer of Oracle Corporation. John Chen is executive chairman and chief executive officer of BlackBerry Limited. Francis D'Souza is president and chief executive officer of Illumina. Mel Lagomasino is chief executive officer and managing partner of WE Family Offices. Fred Langhammer is chairman, global affairs of Estee Lauder. Alwyn Lewis is former chairman, CEO, and president of Potbelly Sandwich Works. And Mark Parker is chairman, president, and chief executive officer of Nike. At this time, I would like the board to stand and be recognized. This meeting has been duly called and is being conducted in conformity with the laws of Delaware and the company's charter and bylaws. Now, if you've already voted by proxy, you don't need to vote again now, but if you haven't voted yet or if you want to change your vote, you may do so. Please raise your hand if you need a ballot to vote. There'll be folks in the audience handing out ballots. We'll have someone who will collect the ballots at the end of the day and the end of the business portion of the meeting. Now, copies of the rules of the meeting were provided at the registration table, and I would just ask everyone to kindly respect those rules. We have six items on the agenda today, including two shareholder proposals. I will introduce each of the four items, and shareholder representatives will present the two shareholder proposals. Then, The polls will close. We'll hear a preliminary report from the Inspector of Elections and then adjourn the business portion of the meeting so we can get on to the presentation and questions to Bob. The company has retained Broadridge Investor Communication Solutions as the Inspector of Election for this meeting, and I'd now like to introduce Belinda Massafra, a representative of Broadridge, and ask her to report on the number of outstanding shares present and voting at today's meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Braverman. As of the close of business on January 8, 2018, the record date for this meeting, there were 1,506,464,999 shares of common stock outstanding, each of which is entitled to one vote. There are at least 1,290,765,406 shares of common stock represented by proxy at this meeting, representing at least 85% of the total number of shares entitled to vote.
Thank you. Based on that report, I declare that a quorum is present, that this meeting is qualified to proceed, and that the polls are now open. The first item is the election of 10 members of the Board of Directors. Each director holds office for a term of 1 year. Those nominated for election at this meeting are Susan Arnold, Mary Barra, Safra Katz, John Chen, Francis D'Souza, Bob Iger, Mel Lagosamino, Fred Langhammer, Alwyn Lewis, and Mark Parker. The board recommends a vote for the election of all of the nominees. The next item is the ratification of the appointment of Pricewaterhouse LLP as the company's independent registered accountants for the current fiscal year as recommended by the Audit Committee of the Board of Directors. Bob Barrett, a representative of Pricewaterhouse, is here today to respond to any questions. The board recommends a vote for the ratification of the appointment of PricewaterhouseCooper as the company's independent registered accountants for fiscal 2018. The next item is the approval of material terms of performance goals under the amended and restated 2002 Executive Performance Plan. Now, under the IRS rules, we must receive approval of these terms every 5 years in order to allow deduction of performance-based compensation for certain of our executives. The board recommends a vote for this proposal. The next item is the advisory vote on executive compensation. We are seeking advisory shareholder approval of the compensation of our named executive officers, and the board recommends a vote for this proposal as well. The next item is a shareholder proposal being presented by Zevin Asset Management. The full text of the proposal is set forth in the proxy statement. I understand that Joel Dunnington, a representative of the shareholder, is here to present the proposal, and I would like to invite him to do so. I would ask that he limit the presentation to 5 minutes at most.
Fellow shareholders and members of the board, my name is Joel Dunnington. On behalf of Zevin Asset Management, I hereby move shareholder proposal number one, which asks our company to provide a comprehensive report on its lobbying expenditures, including indirect funding of lobbying through trade associations. We encourage all shareholders to vote in support of this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. The Board of Directors has recommended a vote against this proposal for the reasons set out in the proxy statement. The next item is a shareholder proposal presented by James McRitchie. The full text of that proposal as well is set forth in the proxy statement. I understand that Robert Mahan, a representative of the shareholder, is here to present the proposal, and I would invite him to do so, and again would ask that he limit the presentation to 5 minutes at most.
Thank you. Fellow shareholders and members of the board, my name is Robert Mahan. On behalf of James McRitchie, I hereby move shareholder proposal number two, which asks that Disney's proxy access rules be amended to make it less of a burden for shareholders to make use of shareholder proxy access. We encourage all shareholders to vote in support of this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. The Board of Directors has recommended a vote against this proposal for the reasons set out in the proxy statement. Now, we're getting near the close, so if anyone has not yet voted and you are holding a ballot, please raise your hand and someone will collect it. The polls will now close, and I would ask the Inspector of Elections to give us her report based upon the proxies received at the opening of the polls at today's meeting. Inspector, may we have your preliminary report?
Thank you, Mr. Braverman. For item one, the election of directors, we have received proxies for each director representing at least 86% of the votes cast. For item two, ratification of the appointment of PricewaterhouseCoopers, we have received proxies for 98% of shares voting to approve the appointment. For item three, relating to approval of certain items of the 2002 Executive Performance Plan, we have received proxies for 97% of shares voting to approve the resolution. For item four, relating to executive compensation, we have received proxies for 44% of shares voting to approve the resolution, 52% voting against the resolution, and 4% abstaining. For item five, relating to lobbying disclosure, we have received proxies for 37% of shares voting to approve the proposal, 62% voting against the proposal. For item six, relating to amendments to proxy access provisions, we have received proxies for 27% of shares voting to approve the proposal, 72% voting against the proposal. That concludes my report, Mr. Braverman.
Thank you. Now, based on that report and subject to the counting of ballots presented at the meeting and a final confirmation of voting by the Inspector of Election, I declare that all of the nominees for the election of the board have been duly elected, that the appointment of PricewaterhouseCoopers has been duly ratified, that the material terms of the 2002 Executive Performance Plan are approved, and that neither of the shareholder proposals was approved. 44% of the votes supported the advisory resolution on executive compensation, 52% of the votes opposed that resolution, and 4% of the votes abstained on that resolution. That concludes the business portion of this meeting, which is now adjourned, and we hope you'll now enjoy the rest of today's presentation. Thank you.
I hope you know that it's no coincidence that the general counsel gets to do the business portion of the meeting and the CEO gets to show the fancy videos. That video certainly showcases our achievements and many of the exciting things that we've got coming up. And watching it makes me feel extremely proud to lead this phenomenal company. And Disney's success is a true team effort driven by the hard work of thousands of cast members around the world. And I know we have a number of them here today and many more that are listening. So I want to take this opportunity to thank them, give them a very heartfelt thanks for all of the work that they do. I know Alan introduced the board earlier. We feel very fortunate to have a great board of directors who share my belief that Disney's best days are still ahead, and they are willing to take the bold strategic steps that are necessary for us to achieve our greatest potential. I appreciate the rich diversity of their perspectives and their experience, and I value their courage and their counsel. And speaking of our board, we are saddened by the recent passing of Orrin Smith. Some of you may have known Orrin. He served as our lead director since 2012. And he was a man of great integrity and kindness, a true gentleman, and he helped lead our company through a transformative era. He is missed by all who knew him, and our thoughts are with his family. Now, a lot has happened since we last met. And just a few months ago, we announced plans to acquire 21st Century Fox, by far the largest acquisition in our history. The move fully aligns with the strategy that has driven our historic growth over these last dozen years. And we're currently in the regulatory process, which is going to take some time, but it is safe to say that bringing Disney and Fox together is going to create an extraordinary global entertainment company with the content and the platforms and the reach to meet the growing demands of consumers around the world. Now, these evolving consumer demands are behind another important strategic acquisition, that of BAMTech, which is going to enable us to distribute our content to and connect with millions of people directly. And we're very excited about the upcoming ESPN streaming service that we're calling ESPN Plus. It's going to launch along with a completely transformed ESPN app just later this spring, and it will combine BAMTech's technology and know-how with a rich array of additional content to give sports fans even more access to the sports and the teams that they care about. ESPN, we all know, is the undisputed leader in sports, and across all platforms, ESPN content reaches 215 million Americans every month. And on average, 120 million sports fans turn to ESPN Digital each month. And last year, they viewed more than 9.2 billion minutes of video clips. That's a lot of sports. Now, at any given moment of the day, at least 2 million people are engaging with ESPN in some form or fashion. And so it's easy to understand why no one covers sports like ESPN. It's a good year for Houston sports. I know the Rockets won their 17th game in a row last night. Bad, since ABC has the NBA Finals, we would love to be back in Houston in May or June for the NBA Finals. Go Rockets. I mentioned a few minutes ago that we're launching an ESPN direct-to-consumer service, and we're also going to launch a Disney-branded direct-to-consumer service, but in late 2019. And just this morning, we were thrilled to announce that Jon Favreau, who launched the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Iron Man. He also delivered Disney's stunning Jungle Book, and he is the creative force behind our upcoming live-action Lion King, is going to executive produce and write the world's first ever live Star Wars series, which will be exclusive to this new platform when it launches. Now, before I move on to our unbelievable slate of upcoming movies, I want to acknowledge some of our recent milestones, starting with Coco. Thank you. On top of the critical acclaim and the box office success, on Sunday, as you saw in the earlier clip, Coco captured Oscars for Outstanding Animated Film and Best Original Song. And it was a thrilling night for Pixar and for our company, and I think a great testament to taking bold, creative risks, and certainly Coco was one of them. And then, of course, there's Black Panther. The Marvel Studios team and director Ryan Coogler and the amazing cast and crew delivered a true movie masterpiece that is shattering box office records along with industry expectations. Black Panther has already grossed more than $900 million, and it could exceed $1 billion as early as this weekend. But the real impact of this movie, I think, reaches far beyond the theater. It has created an authentic cultural moment that is sparking reflection, driving conversation, inspiring young minds, and touching hearts of all ages. Now, I've been part of this company for more than 40 years, and I've never seen anything like the reaction that we're getting to Black Panther. It is profoundly moving to see how much this film means to so many people, and the outpouring of excitement and respect and gratitude has been absolutely overwhelming. And it speaks to the importance of showcasing diverse voices and visions and how powerful it is for all sectors of society to be represented in our entertainment. Thank you. Now, we celebrated the success of Black Panther in a way that honors its impact by donating $1 million to the Boys and Girls Club of America to create technology centers and expand STEM programs for kids in underserved communities across the country. Our next release is Disney's A Wrinkle in Time, and that opens tomorrow. A Wrinkle in Time is a classic story with a great cast, including Oprah Winfrey and Reese Witherspoon and Mindy Kaling, directed by the incredible Ava DuVernay. By now, you've probably seen all of the posters and all the ads and all of the trailers. So I guess the only thing that's left to do is go see the movie, which I said opens tomorrow. And then our next big release is Avengers Infinity War, which will be in theaters on April 27th. And trust me, it is big. It's got the largest collection of Marvel superheroes ever assembled, and here is an exclusive sneak peek. Uh-huh. The little piece of the movie, and it is a very big movie. And speaking of big movies, for you Star Wars fans, our next film after Avengers is Solo, a Star Wars story, and that opens on May 25th. We've got a big month ahead. And we released our first trailer a few weeks ago, and today I brought an exclusive first look at Solo. Actually, this is a behind-the-scenes look. Mm-hmm. Makes you want to see the whole thing, doesn't it? Pretty cool movie. That was Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. I'm sure you recognized her, and Donald Glover, who's in Atlanta. Woody Harrelson and Alden Ehrenreich plays Han Solo, young Han Solo. You get to meet him when he's 18 years old. He gets to meet Chewie for the first time, and he gets the Millennium Falcon. Pretty good story. We're going to follow Solo with the sequel to Incredibles. Incredibles was one of the most popular and most successful Pixar films of all time, and that's going to open up on June 15th. And I brought you a first look at Incredibles, too, but it's still a bit unfinished, but I think you'll still enjoy it. Incredibles 2. Okay, I know I'm showing you a lot from our studio, but we have a lot to be proud of. And I have one more clip today. And it's a movie that I know holds a special place in the heart of every Disney fan. More than half a century after her film debut, Mary Poppins returns on Christmas Day. And I know that you're as excited to see her as we are. So here is an extended look at Mary Poppins Returns. So as you can see from the timeline behind me, we have got an unbelievable slate of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars movies scheduled for release through 2019, and there are many more beyond that. Just look at that lineup and go right back to it for a second. I'm talking mostly about 2018 today, but then you look at 19 and you see another Avengers movie and Dumbo and Aladdin, Frozen 2. Not bad, not bad. Okay. As I think all of you know, the characters that we create and the stories that we tell don't just live on the screen, but we bring them to life at our parks and resorts around the world. And we are in the midst of a tremendous era of expansion at parks and resorts. For example, Toy Story Land at Shanghai Disney Resort opens next month, April, and that will be followed by the June opening of Toy Story Land at Walt Disney World. And we're also looking forward to opening Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland and at Walt Disney World, and they'll both open in 2019. You can see from some of the visuals behind me that construction is going quite well. We're making great progress, and as these lands rise from the ground, it is clear that they are going to be truly extraordinary, and that's even by our standards. They are huge in size and scale and technology and innovation, and we are extremely excited about the developments so far. We also just announced a historic expansion that's going to transform Disneyland Paris, and there we are planning to add three new lands based on Marvel and Frozen and Star Wars. And we're also dramatically expanding our Disney cruise fleet, where we already have four ships. We think they're some of the most beautiful ships on the high seas, but we've got three more ships on the way, and we wanted to give you the first look to see what the new ones are going to look like. And as you can tell from this rendering, the new ships will continue the elegant design of our existing fleet, but inside they're going to have many more innovations and more stunning entertainment, more Disney stories and characters than anyone has ever experienced on the high seas. And they're coming in the next several years. Now, I've always wanted Disney to be one of the most admired companies in the world, not only for what we create, but for being good citizens and for truly making a difference in the world. I've already mentioned a few of those efforts. from the Hurricane Relief and the STEM Centers for Kids, but I'd just like to highlight a few more that we're particularly proud of, starting with a new program to help hourly cast members advance their careers and their earning potential through the power of education. And so we are providing $50 million to send our hourly cast members to college or to vocational school. And this free tuition will be available to all full-time hourly cast members across the country starting this fall, and we'll keep it going with additional investments of up to $25 million a year. And I'm also very proud of the support for veterans that our company has been involved with over the years, and that's a tradition that Walt Disney himself started. More than 24,000 American military veterans have found jobs through our Heroes Work Here initiative, and that includes almost 9,000 vets that were hired directly by Disney. And we've also made a point of buying goods and services from veteran entrepreneurs, significantly increasing our spending with veteran businesses. Our support for, thank you. Our support for children's hospitals is another tradition that began with Walt Disney, and one that we are taking to a whole new level. Yesterday, I announced that Disney is dedicating $100 million to help improve the experience at children's hospitals around the world. Thank you. And we're starting right here in Houston, collaborating with the Texas Children's Hospital to add a little Disney magic to their fantastic new expansion. And with the help of patient care experts and our own Imagineers, we're going to help create a kid-friendly atmosphere incorporating our beloved characters and legendary creativity to bring our stories to life in ways that delight young patients and ease the stress of their hospital stay. And then we will replicate that effort in several more hospitals over the next 5 years. And a number of us had the chance to visit Texas Children's Hospital yesterday morning, which was quite a moving experience to see children that are undergoing obviously critical care in many respects, staying at the hospital for long periods of time. We also had Mickey Mouse and Mr. and Mrs. Incredible and some stormtroopers and Black Panther there as well. It's just an amazing thing to see how important and how impactful it is just to put a little smile into a child's life that's enduring, you know, that kind of stress and that kind of challenge. After 13 years as CEO, I know for certain that leading this company is a profound privilege, and I deeply appreciate it. Together, we're doing extraordinary things that touch lives and lift hearts and give people a much-needed respite from a challenging world. I'm enormously proud of what we've achieved as a company, and I am more excited than ever about the incredible opportunities ahead for all of us. And above all, I'm inspired and I'm energized by the creativity and the commitment of people that I have the honor of working with every day. And before I take your questions, I want to acknowledge someone very special to us who is truly a member of the Disney family, and that's Roy P. Disney. Roy, where are you today? You can stand. Thank you for coming. Roy is a frequent visitor to the Disney lot and to Disney properties around the world, someone I get a chance to talk with on a regular basis, and he comes to our annual meetings every year, and we really appreciate his continued love of the company and the connection that he has with us. And now I'm happy to take your questions.